Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, got the usual crew, Brett and Kyle with me today, and we are starting a brand new series. So this past Sunday, Pastor Barry introduced the new series. It's called From Fear to Faith. Oh, I got it right this time. Yeah, I've been having trouble as we were prepping. I kept saying from faith to fear. That's not what the series is. It's From Fear to Faith, and the subtitle of the series is Preparing to Step In. So as a church, we are preparing, and we're kind of in a transition, right? We started off the last 17 years. We were at Stanford Middle School. We're kind of in a transition season right now at Mark Twain Elementary, and we feel like the Lord has big plans for this next season. And so I feel like that's part of why Pastor Barry has initiated this new series about From Fear to Faith, helping us to prepare ourselves and prepare our hearts for this next season for our church. And so, yeah, we're going to be starting this series, and hopefully we'll be giving some good commentary and feedback on the podcast. But these next few episodes, we're hoping, at least as we were prepping for this one, saying maybe we should invite some more guests on to give some more personal experiences of things where they were either in transition or moving from a place of fear to a place of faith. So if that's you, reach out to us because we would love to have more guests on.
Or if you know somebody that's done that, you can highlight them to us and then we can approach them as well.
And we're going to need someone anyway because Kyle's going to be out the next 2 weeks. So we're going to need someone to step in and fill his shoes. So we do need some guests. So reach out to us. Okay, so one of the first things that Pastor Barry talked about in this past sermon was he wanted to define what a city on a hill is, because really that's the direction that we feel like is the calling for our church, is to become city on a hill. And so he gave a description of what that is, and it's based on Matthew 5:14, and the way that Pastor Barry described it is, a city on a hill is a place where God's presence dwells, where we grow stronger together as God's family, and where we can be a light to impact the community. And I thought that was a really cool way just to kind of sum it up in a real simple, easy to remember terms, that it's those three things. What did you guys think?
I wasn't in there, but I think that sounds good. I was busy having to start my own new series with the middle schoolers, but I think that idea and that calling for our church is a high calling. I think it's necessary, and I think it's something the world needs, like, more even nowadays. Like, not that they didn't need it before, but like, I think there's just a higher contrast in the need of it, and noticing that there's a lot that tries to, I feel like, dim the light that Jesus wants to bring and wants to show people. And so part of our job and our church's calling is to, yeah, shine brighter, because I feel like a lot of times darkness is trying to cover those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is a season of preparation, and I think that what we're preparing for is that it's the long view. It's not just like, oh yeah, we'll do this real quick and then we'll move on to the next thing. This is like an ongoing, you know, strengthen ourselves, strengthen our own body, but we're doing that for the purpose of being able to shine the light better. And it's with the expectation and the desire to encounter the Lord. So it's not just doing it from striving, from our own just gaining knowledge. It's, we need encounters with the Lord to be able to have all of that come out.
Yeah, and as we've been talking about the kind of this transition and some of the preparation, really what I feel like for myself personally is, you know, God's been preparing us to become city on a hill since we started, right? And so to me, this season is really just more intentionality and acceleration of what God's doing. And so that's part of why we're doing things like some of the classes, the boot camps and things like that, is there's an acceleration to taking those steps to becoming city on a hill as we're seeing this transition and seeing the movement. But I really feel like God has been preparing us for this the whole time. It's not just like, oh, the first 17 years were nothing and now we're going to become city on a hill. But really that time was really to set the stage and set the foundation for us to be able to now accelerate into this new season.
That's a good observation.
I kind of got a picture when you guys were describing it. You know, like when you have one of those glow in the dark things, whether it's a toy or something. Mm-hmm. In the regular light, it still stands out because it's like an off-white color, or it's still a little like glowy. Mm-hmm. But in the regular light, like it's absorbing light. And then when it's dark, then it, you could really see that it shines. And so this preparation is kind of like, yes, we're still a light, but like we're absorbing from God so that in the darkness, it's like we're the city on the hill. And so that's time of preparation, like you're saying, it is not just absorbing and then nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like absorbing to then shine, because right. it like requires an action, or it requires something to be done about it, not just like taking it in and then it, you know, nothing goes.
Yeah, it's done for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was just a random picture when you guys were describing it.
I like it.
No, I think it's a good image for us, because really we're receiving from the Lord and then we're giving back, mm-hmm. right? And that's really what he wants us to do. It's not just, okay, out of ourselves, we're going to become the city on a hill. Really, mm-hmm. we just need to receive from the Lord. And I feel like that's a big part of what this season for us in preparation is kind of like what Pastor Barry talked about at the end. And it was interesting, because some of the stuff that Pastor Barry was talking about at the end of his sermon was really very similar to what Bonnie talked about in our last episode, of having a season of saying yes to the Lord. But in order to say yes to the Lord, we have to be able to hear from him and hear his voice, right? And so it's not just, okay, I'm just going to do what I think the Bible tells me to do or something like that. It's really, I need to hear from the Lord and then say yes to what he wants us to do. And so I really feel like that's going to be a major part of this new season for us, and being city on a hill is hearing the Lord's voice and then saying yes and stepping into what he wants us to do. And so it's cool that Pastor Barry started this series off by talking about fear, because I think that's really something that holds us back from saying yes to the Lord a lot of times, is when we have fears, like, are you sure that doesn't sound like it's going to work out, right?
Well, I know this isn't what your intention was, but yeah, we do want to do what the Bible says. And so it's
that's not
so
what I'm
saying. But that's like an intro level. It's like, that's good. And that's going to get us to a certain point, but it's really developing that intimacy where God gives us specific calling and mm-hmm. specific instruction. And that's kind of like the preparation. So I don't want people to think that, oh, this isn't.
No,
this
I'm not saying we're trying to be heretical and right. abandon the Bible. That's not what I'm trying
to
say.
So I want to bring clarification, yes. because I think sometimes it's like, oh, that's all I need to do is just the more practical, theoretical, and that stuff's good, and but it has certain limits, and we want to get where God wants to speak to us. And like that's what you've been like wrestling with personally, right? Does God want to speak to me, and does he want to speak to me soon? Do I expect an answer? And
yeah,
things like that.
Well, I don't think it was wrestling with does God want to speak to me. I think it's more is my expectation that God is speaking to me right now.
Yeah, the expectation part, right? Right.
And so I feel like that's been something that the Lord has been shifting in me, is, you know, so I've shared on the podcast that I feel like when I go running, that it's my time with the Lord, right? And so sometimes when it's really hard for me to get out the door and there's a season of me not going out and running, in the past, what I would do is when I'd start running again, it's like, I don't have this expectation that the Lord is going to speak to me. I have to build up that time and that to get to the right place, and then I'll be able to hear from him. But I felt like the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to expect to hear from me regularly, and you need to change your expectations. So there was a season, like, we just went on vacation for a couple weeks, so I didn't run at all, and then came back, and I said, okay, I'm going to get back into my routine. And that's when I felt like the Lord said, but don't feel like you have to wait a week or 2 weeks to have the routine down to hear from me. I want you to expect me to, that you're going to hear from me right away. And that shifted a lot for me. And it was really cool just to feel like the Lord saying, no, I want you to hear my voice now, not just later. I want you to hear. I'm speaking, and I want you to hear it. And so I thought that was a cool thing. And it was definitely a perspective shift for me.
Yeah, I think it's important to highlight that aspect, because if we don't have confidence in our ability to hear from the Lord and that he actually wants to talk to us, then it's going to be hard to overcome fear. And it's like, sometimes the Lord asks us to do things that sometimes they're just illogical. It's like, really? I'm supposed to do that? And if we don't have that connection of intimacy with him, it's like a fear wins out. It's like, no, that doesn't make sense. I'm not going to do it. Versus, okay, I trust God. It's not going to put me in harm. It doesn't make sense. But if I really feel like that was something he told me, then I'm going to do it. So
it's interesting. I'm thinking about fear and the role that it kind of plays. Well, one is I was listening to this podcast. It's actually a comedy podcast, but they were talking about fear. And the acronym that they had for fear was false evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy to know things that are like scary, like looking at fear in that light. But even the fear of like doubt or even questioning, like, does God want to speak to me or is he speaking to me? While that question may not like seem like it depicts fear, mm-hmm. I think for me, like personally, if I were to ask that, there would be a part of me that's fearful of like, what if the answer is no? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like, I may not audibly express that or that might not come through in me asking that question, but it's just so interesting how crafty the enemy can use things uh-huh. of fear to just, you know, change us in slight degrees or make us think a certain way or perceive something a certain way just to create a little bit of a roadblock or a bump or a stop or a detour in our journeys and trying to grow in faith. Mm-hmm. And so as you guys were just sharing that, it just made me think of the acronym and just this idea that I think a lot of times, I know for myself, I kind of see fear in more of the big, more bold ways mm-hmm. in your face where it's easily identifiable. But I think there's a lot of ways where the enemy is able to use it and be tricky. And we might not even recognize some of those things. That's like, oh, I actually have a fear of something, or fear is actually dictating mm-hmm. this decision or this thought more than I originally thought.
Yeah, it's funny when you were sharing that, because that's one of the fears I struggle with is I kind of equate it with fear of the unknown. Mm. And so some of that is like with God, it's like, it's the unknown. How is he going to respond? Do I want to get an answer? Because it might be something I don't want to hear. And so then it's like, well, I'm better staying where I'm at because I know my circumstances. I know what it is. And there's that, I don't know the other part. And I have fear of like, what if it's bad? What if it's, so I've had to learn how to wrestle. And sometimes I still go to that place and it's in, for myself, I feel sad that I actually still wrestle with that, because I've seen God and I've seen him in his gentleness and like his care and his love. And I understand it better, yet that's still, I wouldn't say it's ingrained, but it's like, that's one thing that the enemy, that the devil likes to tempt me with, or to like push, like, do you really trust him? Do you really want to go there? And so it does take faith to get past that. And it comes little by little, but it's totally real. Totally real.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, we've been talking about identity for a long time, but I think that's where there's a little bit of a depth to it that we need to get to, and we need to take it to a deeper level, because I think sometimes we get to those questions because we're not super secure in our identity, right? Like, we're not secure that we are God's children that he loves and that he's proud of, right? So it's like, okay, well, is God going to make me do this? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not 100% sure that that's how he really sees me. Or that might not be how you it is for you, but yeah. I know for myself, that's how it was. And so that's been one of the things that I feel like the Lord has been telling me, is that I need to shift my perception of even myself and recognize that that's where that's coming from. Some of those fears are coming from that place because I'm not secure in this is how he sees me. And so that's been something that I've been having to wrestle with, especially recently. It's just like, okay, God, is that really how you see me? Or am I questioning that even? And that's why I'm having these fears, or that's why it's hard for me to step into that. Because so I think, you know, one of the things that he's been telling me is a lot is, you know, I want you to hear my voice. I, I want that. And I think that's what he wants for all of us, right? Is that he wants to be, we've been talking about having a relationship with him. Well, he wants us to be able to hear his voice. And so he wants us to be able to expect that we can hear it. And I think that's something that hinders a lot of people too. It's just like, oh, God doesn't talk to me. Well, it's like, if that's what you expect, well, then you're not going to hear from him, right? So I think for us, we need to have that perspective shift to say, the Lord does want to talk to me and I want to hear from him. So I'm going to expect that he's going to talk, and I'm going to expect that I'm going to hear too.
I have a question. The second thing that came to mind, and I'll try to give you guys some time to think about it. So it's not
Damon's going
to
have an answer for you, because it's his birthday, and the birthday guys have good answers. So.
Is fear necessary? Because I think from a, well, okay, I'll give some context. I think growing up, I was a pretty anxious and fearful kid. Not like I'm scared of everything, but my mind was able to put things together at a young age, which led to kind of some of that unknown stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I've told on here before, I was kind of scared of Santa Claus because I'm like, how's this fool getting in the house?
Right, right.
And if this fool can get in, like, and other people can get in, right? So it's like, it wasn't that I'm scared of everything, but just like, okay, my mind could go there.
It's funny because I had that type of conversation with Riley last week.
That's funny.
I was like, are you reading the If You Give a Mouse a Cookie book a lot? And she's like, actually, we have a lot of those books in school. So she's connecting all the dots. Like, if this happens and this happens and this happens, then we should all be afraid because everybody's going to get sick or something like that. It was
yeah,
funny.
So that's kind of to depict a little bit of the fear that I had as a kid, or able to go to that place. And then, like, you know, going to therapy and stuff, part of it, you learn, like, there are survival skills that just naturally as a human being, like, the first person that discovered a wild, like, tiger, fear helped recognize and tells your body, like, this is not good. So, like, you need to get out of the way or else it's just like, oh, like, you're going to get mauled. And so there's that aspect of it. And then there's like this aspect of, I don't want to say the argument, but this idea of like with light and darkness, they sort of need each other. Cause without it, like, how does light exist without dark, you know? And like, how do you know something's dark when there's no light and some things of that nature? And so I guess my question is, fear necessary, not saying that we need to embody fear, but is it necessary in order to get to faith, or is it necessary in this way of growth? Because it'd be nice if we could all just not be fearful, but realistically, like, is it a part of God? It's not from God, but God can still use it for his good, like that type of thing.
Are you asking if it's like a necessary to be able to actually exert genuine or true faith? Like, you have to have something you're coming from or against that is like a bad, negative type of thing. Otherwise, faith is easy because everything's good around you. Is that,
yeah, essentially, is that kind of, yeah, yeah, kind of the question. Or how do you guys feel about fear? And
well, I know Pastor Barry and I did a sermon once on fear as well. And he talks, there's different types of fear. There is healthy, genuine, there's good fear, like that, a fear of petting, like he used it in the sermon, fear of petting a lion.
Mm.
Like, that's a healthy fear. You shouldn't go up and expect that you're going to pet a lion and it's going to be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's three things though, right? There's a
fear of the Lord.
Yeah. But then there was another one that was more neutral or something, right? Like it's a good. There's good. There's, I don't know. Anyway, so there's different types of fear, or maybe that's what it was. There was healthy fear, unhealthy fear, and then fear of the Lord. Maybe those are the three.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there is part of that. Like, of you can't have good without evil. You can't have love without pain. Or those dichotomies.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't have the reciprocal, the opposite, then what is that? It's really, there's nothing, it's not good or bad. It's just kind of neutral because there's nothing that you can compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in a sense, yeah, it is necessary. But then, yeah, I guess my thing is that not all fear is bad. Not all fear is, mm-hmm. but not all fear is good. Mm. Yeah.
I think it depends on how we view fear, because I think a lot of times we view fear as like paralyzing, and this is going to stop us from doing something that either we should be or we could be doing. But I think if we look at fear through the lens of like kind of like pain, mm-hmm. right? Like pain is an indicator that something is not going right.
Right.
And so that drives us to get it fixed, right? So with fear, if we take a look at it and say, am I responding to this situation in the right way? This fear is causing me to look at it from a certain perspective. Is there something, is this true? Am I responding to the truth, or am I responding to something that is totally made up in my mind that it's going to go from I have a hangnail to like my arm is going to need to get amputated or
right.
something like that.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I'm not responding to the truth of what's going on. Right. Mm. So I think it can be used kind of like as like a flashlight into like, am I really seeing the truth of the situation, or am I kind of conflating it to some lie that the enemy wants me to believe about the situation that's not really true?
Mm.
So I think we can use it for a positive thing in that sense, where a lot of times we just look at it as like, okay, this is, I'm afraid, so I'm paralyzed and I can't do something.
And while you were saying that analogy about pain, there's a third option, right? You can mask it. You can take pills and be like, oh yeah, I don't feel pain anymore. And then you can either further damage, or it comes back later in a different way. Or I think fear can be the same way. It's like you can mask it, but like you kind of just push it aside, or you're able to kind of compartmentalize it. Yet if you haven't dealt with it in a healthy way, then it's going to come back at some point. So I think that's really the key. It's when fears or pain or whatever it is gets highlighted, what do you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you run from it? Do you ignore it? Do you cover your eyes? You know, like, or do you analyze or even look like, okay, what are the facts? Because you want to respond in the appropriate way, right, Damon? Like, or are you blowing it out of proportion and taking it to places about Santa Claus? Like, oh, if he can get in here, then like aliens could probably get in here. Oh, there's aliens now. And you know, you could go to like really bad places. So, I think that's kind of like Romans 12, also like the renewing of the mind. Like you have to be able to, with fear especially, you have to be able to contain your thoughts on some levels.
Yeah, when you were talking, it kind of brought to mind when I was a little kid, I'd say probably like 5 or 6.
Oh, I thought you were thinking like last week.
No, not last week.
Okay,
like when I was 5 or 6, I remember watching the movie Gremlins. Remember that movie?
Dude, I got freaked out by that movie.
No, that movie freaked me out.
Oh,
like
me too.
No other. I couldn't sleep with the
me
lights
too.
Out.
Oh,
had to have the lights on because I felt like the gremlins were going to come get me, right? And they were allergic to light, so if the light was on, then I was...
I know. Brett's like, what are you guys talking about? That was like, I don't even know. Is that like in the 50s or something?
So that movie, man, I was messed up after that movie.
Yeah.
For months, I remember sleeping with the light on, and not just like a night light. I had to have the full lights on in my whole room.
Yeah.
So anyway, I watched that movie again like 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at it, it's like, why is this even scary? Like they're obviously like puppets or something. It's not real. And then also my rational side is like, okay, it's a movie, it's fake, it's like, and it wasn't even scary anymore, right? Because I knew the truth that, well, gremlins aren't real, and this movie was a movie and things like that. So just even aligning it to the truth, it's like, okay, that took some of the fear away that was unhealthy before.
But I think that highlights kind of what, Brett, what you were sharing earlier too about the Santa Claus thing, is that as part of our brain development, kids at a young age can't distinguish between true, like what's true reality and what is fiction. And so then they get stuck in that fear, and that can, you know, that can attach to us, and we can carry that forward as we grow up, in an unhealthy way.
Yeah. So I think another option, that we haven't talked about is engaging the Lord in those times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And asking him like, am I responding in the correct way? How do you want me to respond in this situation? And then have the expectation that he's going to answer us in that time.
Yeah, I like your guys' answers. And I think it really highlights that. I think a lot of the kind of almost like a negative associated feelings or thoughts are necessary in the sense that they're okay because we're human and it happens. But it's really after that point, after the thought of fear or something sets in, like, how are we responding? And I think for me personally, that had to be the biggest, like, jump or place of maturity or leveling up, is being able to not separate it in terms of making it like it's a different issue or it's a different thing, but separating it in being able to kind of stop and say, okay, hold on. How am I going to, like, react or respond to this? Because I can freak out, and trust me, my, you know, a million ways to die, I can go there in 2 seconds. So I could either go there or redirect, like you're saying, and even asking the Lord, okay, how am I supposed to think about this? What am I supposed to think? Or show me what I'm supposed, how I'm supposed to view it. Because right now I'm thinking this dude's going to come down my chimney and I don't have anything to defend myself, right? Or, you know, asking the Lord, whatever it might be, should I make this decision? Maybe a decision is causing me a lot of fear. And I think just being able to stop and do that, like, in itself doesn't get rid of the fear, but like you guys were explaining, it changes the perspective of it, because then what we're doing isn't dictated by it. While it can still be there and it can still make things difficult, and in certain ways it's not going to just go away, it doesn't, like, bleed into the other things, or it's not just swept away and it becomes bigger, or it allows us to overcome it, I think, quicker than if we kind of just try to write it out or figure out a different way to go over it. And I think for myself, especially being really anxious, it was something I had to, like, intentionally practice. Like, it's not just something you just say, I'm going to do this, and then the next time a situation comes up, your expectation is just that it's all of a sudden going to be dealt with different. It's like, oh, I need to recognize that, no, this is one of those times where I'm starting to freak out. I need to take a step back or pause or step out or take a chill pill. And then, like, you know, okay, God, I'm scared right now. I don't know what's going on, how I'm supposed to react. I don't know. Help me, you know. I think in the beginning, that's, I used to just pray, okay, God, help me, because I can't change it on my own, or I can't make the decision on my own, or make this go away on my own. And then it started to develop more as I was able to do it more, into then taking a step a little bit beyond that point of fear and actually be present and engaged with the Lord in the midst of the situation that I was fearful before, or whatever it might be.
It kind of sounds like you're separating the circumstances or events or whatever from the emotional response. Like, it's, the circumstances might not change, but your emotional response can be different. Like, is that kind of what you're saying? Like, the thing should still cause fear based on it still being there and the way I was dealing with it before, but I want to disconnect that maybe even improper response, because so I'm talking more of the unhealthy fear, not like the proper healthy fear. And I don't want to have that. So I need to just even disconnect my thoughts or emotions from that right now. The circumstance will still be there, but I want to separate, like, my inner struggle with it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at least for me personally, that's been a huge journey and learning how to work through that for myself. I think for everyone, it might look a little different.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm similar. I mean, I think we have to figure out the way to do it, but I think that is, like, sometimes our circumstances don't necessarily change right away. yet we can let go of fear, unhealthy fear. Because so for me, when you were sharing earlier, I was like, there's two words that growing up, two words that like got my fear factory like just booking, and that was what if. I could do the what if thing forever, and what if this? Well, what if that? Well, what if this? And especially tied in with health, health things. Well, what if this? Well, what does that mean? What if this? And I could get myself into like, I could even feel like my heart racing. I could feel like tension, anxiety. I mean, I just had that recently with like Ezra going through like health stuff. Well, what if this? Well, what if that? And it's like, so I was able to stop that a lot earlier than I used to, but it still was trying to like generate like. Oh, then I could feel fear. Like, oh, I feel scared. I feel nervous. I feel anxious. Okay, relax. Like, we don't know. Like, the circumstances didn't change when I let it go, but I got more clarity as it played out. And I was like, yeah, see, like, if I would have stayed in that place, it wouldn't have done anything different. The circumstances still had to kind of evolve and reveal themselves. But, yeah, like, for me, that was a huge battle growing up.
Well, as we're talking about fear, one of the things that came to mind, and it was a question I wanted to ask you guys, is, well, do you feel, how much do you feel like fear is driven by like promptings from the enemy versus like internal? Like, this is from myself versus, oh, the enemy's kind of speaking and prodding and poking at these, giving me different ideas to take me to that place where he's trying to direct me towards fear.
I'm not sure how to separate those two. I think, because I'm just thinking right now out loud, is that the internal stuff is just really bad patterns and things that you've learned, and those started probably from like a negative place at some point. So just because they're ingrained doesn't mean they don't have their roots in the enemy's lies or something. I don't think that necessarily it's always his voice coming like every time I feel fear, but it's circumstances generating like reaction based on past experiences and past behaviors. It's like it wants to just come up again. So the reason I'm kind of confused is I think they all have the same root, but I think they doesn't mean that they actually come in the moment from the same place. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say off the bat, I don't automatically go to, oh, like the enemy is trying to like push me in a certain direction. But I would say that is an area that I've grown to acknowledge and reconcile more. Just I think within the last like 5 years, where it kind of, in a certain way, it kind of helped me, like, I don't want to say place blame, but like kind of almost like hold the enemy accountable, so to say. Like I would, you know, go through a situation and maybe after I would be able to now recognize like, oh, maybe, you know, the enemy was trying to cheat me out of this or trying to not, didn't want me to whatever it was. Whereas before, I would just maybe more ask like, well, why did this have to happen? Or, and then it's more shifting like, oh, okay, it's because, you know, almost like blaming, okay, because the enemy didn't want this, or maybe he was trying to cause division, or he was whatever it was. And so I think, yeah, initially it's not always going to that place, but I have grown in my awareness and acknowledgement that that's taking place. More than probably I know.
Okay, so part of the reason that I'm asking is because, right, it seems like there is some level of ambiguity between is this internal versus is this like the enemy speaking versus. So I kind of wanted to flip it around and to say, I think sometimes when, you know, we're trying to practice hearing God's voice, the question comes, well, is this my thoughts or is this God's thoughts, right? And so kind of with the undergirding of, well, if it's my thoughts, then it's probably, I don't know if that's something I should do versus if it's God's thoughts, then I want to do it, right? Like, so if, you know, we're in line with the Lord, is that necessarily a bad, like a question that we should have, right? Like, because it seems like throughout the Bible and the scripture, it says like we want to grow to have the mind of Christ. We want to, you know, grow into the image of the Son and, you know, become like Jesus, right? And so if Jesus is God and Jesus has, you know, connected to the Father, then shouldn't our thoughts eventually line up with God's thoughts? And that's actually should be a good thing if it is our thoughts and God's thoughts are the same, right? Like, mm-hmm. Just a question I had.
Well, should, but that's like the journey of sanctification where,
right.
I mean, I'm not there yet, so.
But I think that it happens a lot more than we account for. Like, our thoughts are a lot more aligned with the Lord mm-hmm. than we give credence to. And not to say that we're patting ourselves on the back, but it's, I think, like you said, like as we mature and as we're growing, we might not be recognizing it, but our thoughts are becoming more like Him because we're staying in communion with Him a lot more. So, but I think it's an important thing to actually call out, because I think sometimes we don't even recognize that. And by calling it out, it's like, oh yeah, I can tell my thoughts do align more with God, the Bible, biblical principles. Why is that? Oh yeah, I guess He is He is taking over more of me.
And part of the reason that I call that out and I want to acknowledge that is because I really want us to, I feel like when we are able to recognize that and we're able to celebrate that, then we can really feel blessed. Mm. Like, oh, the Lord is speaking to me and using me. So an example I have is, you know, I was in a small group one time at a retreat or something, and, you know, we're going around talking about like, oh, how do you hear the Lord? How do you hear the Lord? And one of the people in my group was like, oh no, I don't really hear the Lord. And then I felt like kind of the Lord prompted me to say, you do, you're just not acknowledging that it's from Him. Mm-hmm. And then He's like, what are you talking about? And so this person was, you know, he's more of a servant. He likes to help out and serve and, you know, do things kind of behind the scenes. He doesn't want to be in front of everybody. So I remember there was a time where I felt like the Lord highlighted, like, He got up and He noticed that the water was empty, and He went and found someone to refill it. And so I told Him that. I said, I feel like you heard the Lord's voice to prompt you to go do that, because nobody else did it, right? And He's like, oh, really? Like, I thought that was just, you know, that was just me. But after He acknowledged that, He's like, oh, I really feel blessed that the Lord asked me to do that in my personality, because I'm a... He didn't ask me to go up and speak in front of everybody, but He asked me to do something in who I am, which is someone that likes to do things behind the scenes. So He asked me to go refill the water for everybody. And so in Him acknowledging that He heard the Lord's voice, like, He was able to feel blessed and that, wow, the Lord spoke to me and I was able to receive that from Him. So I do think that there is a level for us to try to acknowledge that we are hearing the Lord more, and that will actually help us to feel more blessed by Him.
Yeah. Like, shout out to Pastor Barry's boot camp, Hearing the Lord. We had like 25 participants in there this week. And I think that's Pastor Barry's heart, is that when you not just acknowledge it, but when you recognize and are able to understand how God speaks to you in the ways, and just you're confident in hearing His voice, man, it transforms you in a way you can't even imagine. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun 6 weeks going through that, because I think that's a huge thing of overcoming fear, is then you have to be able to ask God, like you were saying, Brett, like, well, how do you want me to respond? What do you want me to do? But if you don't have that confidence of, like, oh, I think that's the Lord's leading, I'm supposed to whatever it might be, then it's hard. And that leads me to the part I wanted to close, like, our time with. We've been talking a lot about fear, but it's fear to faith. So then how do you step into faith, and what is that faith, and what does it look like? And I think that's that difficult journey where you have to put the work in, and you have to have intimacy and know your identity and all those kind of things we've been doing as a church. But I think that is cool that we've done such a good job with that stuff, but it's not just supposed to stop there. It's supposed to be like, okay, so we can step into faith in different ways.
Yeah, and I think that's something that was cool about Bonnie sharing last week, and then Pastor Barry talking about with Don, It's just saying yes to the Lord, right? It's like they're taking active steps to try to hear from him, but then also to say yes and step into that as they're trying to step towards faith and away from fear. Because sometimes those things might feel like things that we'd be afraid of, but that's where it was cool where, like last week, Bonnie shared that as she stepped in, she's actually been feeling more blessed. Mm-hmm. God is providing these opportunities for her to say yes. And as she's doing them, she's actually feeling like, wow, the Lord blessed me in me saying yes. Mm-hmm. So Brett, like you were kind of more of a close
observer
of your dad's season of yes. Is there anything you want to share about him going through that season of saying yes?
So Brett, in the service, Pastor Barry recalled having a conversation with your dad where mm-hmm. he was like, I think it was like wrestling with, do I hear the Lord? Am I confident in what he's saying to me? And then Pastor Barry was basically saying, if you feel like he's giving you something and he's asking you to do something, just say yes. And as long as it's not, you know, crazy, like where you're going to hurt yourself, hurt somebody, you know, like it's not out of character with God or the Bible. And so he's like, I think I can do that. And he highlighted some of the things he ended up doing, like baptizing people in the Maasai tribe in a pond with leeches, right? And mm-hmm. giving a sermon to pastor. I remember when he shared that with the elders, and he came back and he was like, I don't even know how this happened, but all of a sudden they said you're supposed to give this message at a conference for pastors. And so all these different things, but I know it didn't just start with the huge things. It started even just with things like more ordinary. So yeah, maybe you could share a little bit of what you saw from your dad.
I think some of those things are hard to witness because it was like an internal, like renewing his mind, respond, like taking the time to pause and choose a response where before maybe he would have chose something different. And so I don't think I wish I could like actually witness those decisions or times in real time and like almost mm-hmm. be in his head. Mm-hmm. I could be like Ant-Man and then morph. But I think it's true that a lot of times when we think about and we hear about these people saying yes, we think of those big mm-hmm. grand things where you're like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, how did you do that? Or how did you get to say yes to that? Mm-hmm. Whereas like, I mean, firsthand hearing from my dad, he's like, I don't even know how it got to that point, but it started with the smallest yes.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing that I took away from it, or one of the biggest things I took away from it, was you kind of get to see the full picture of it mm-hmm. and you're like, wow, that's amazing. And you kind of come away with this warm feeling, which is like true. But for him, it was almost like the yes didn't get easier. And it's not like this, like, oh, because I did this, I could just say yes. Mm-hmm. But I think it grew his faith mm-hmm. so that when he said yes, there was that greater expectancy, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. okay, maybe the first yes is like, go tell Brett how awesome of a son he is, right? And he's probably like, oh my God, why do I got to do this?
I need a lot of faith to do that.
I know, he's just like, I mean, that one was probably more of a I guess rather than a yes. But then it's like, you go to Africa and they're saying, okay, you're going to give the sermon on Sunday to these apostles and pastors. Right. I don't necessarily think that yes was easy, right?
No,
like,
no.
Right? Yeah. But it was like, okay, God has shown up from yep. giving me the words to say to my son about how awesome and good looking he is.
Good looking too.
I mean, that's
next God, time.
I thought that was a given.
So. Next time, it's be good looking and smart and athletic.
If God gave him that, then he got to be obedient with it. So I'm just kidding. He didn't say those exact words, but to then saying, okay, well, if he's been faithful in that. If I said yes to this and it led me to that, and if I said yes to this and he did that, if I did this and he showed up in this, and I thought he was going to do this, but when I said yes, it was this, it's like, do I still want to do this? Mm. I don't know. Is it easier for me to just go out and do it? I don't even know what I'm going to say. No, but like God has continued to show up and show his faithfulness. So it's kind of like that idea of like, why wouldn't he show up now then? Mm-hmm. Right. And, yeah. I think that was the thing that I witnessed, was like, he would share some of those things with me, and I would question like, why did you say yes? Or like, was it easier to? And he's like, no, like in certain ways it makes it say easier to yes, because you're like, I know the Lord's going to show up.
Yeah.
But that initial ask, or as it gets bigger, it's mm-hmm. like, it doesn't just become like, oh yeah. Like, yeah. Like yeah. It's not just one of those easy to just do, like, okay, just add it to my list. It's kind of like, there was still even some of that for him, like, oh, like, what is he going to ask me to do next? But there was this knowing that, like, well, I'm going to say yes, and he's going to show up. Right. And so I think having that experience, then now when he's, quote unquote, off this journey of being a yes man, mm-hmm. well, now this level of faith is so grand. Mm. And so you go back to this, quote unquote, regular life, and things come up, situations come up. That's nothing now compared to all those other things you said yes to. And so it's almost like it trained him to then now be able to come back and deal with whatever. And it's like,
from faith instead of fear.
Yeah. Right? It's like, now it's like, okay, well, you know, I was doing this, and so yeah, God's going to show up here. Or like, why wouldn't he show up here? Right. It's almost like this confidence of expectancy that we talked about, this confidence that he will meet you, that he will speak to you, he will give you the words, he will show up, he will bless other people. And then it's kind of like, all I had to do was say yes type of thing. And it sounds so, it used to sound so simple and so just like, you're weird, dude, like, I don't it doesn't really make sense. But like, to witness some of it, or even just the change in mm-hmm. in his posture with the Lord, I would say, it's like, okay, no, there is a difference that happens. Mm-hmm. Things do shift. God does work. And while we may not all be able to replicate that exact thing, mm-hmm. for each of us, God can do that type of work in us, and it'll play out in its own way. You may not be preaching in Africa, but maybe you're inviting a family member to church.
Yep. Exactly.
Or maybe you're filling up the water for every, you know, like for everybody. It's no, like, so to say, things are the greater things you're saying yes to than somebody else's yes. It's still that obedience and that willingness. And I think that's the thing that I saw and recognized, was like, oh, he's has this greater faith and willingness and obedience in the Lord, that if it's something small, he has the same amount of faith as if it's something bigger.
Yeah, while you're sharing, Brett, it reminded me of, I mean, just hearing that faith is a muscle. Mm. And I think it's probably too much to unpack in this episode, but maybe in a future one we can go more on that. But like, when you go to work out, it's not easy. And it's like, when you're trying to get stronger, you have to increase either your reps, your weight, and it's like, but then if you go back and you go to the lighter weights, oh yeah, this is a piece of cake. But before, that wasn't easy. Or even like distance running, right? Like when you're increasing that, Damon, and then you go back and run something shorter, it's like, oh, this was nothing, or even the times. But it does create increased capacity. But then I think there is also like that of, if faith is a muscle, if we don't use it, then it does start to kind of atrophy. And so I think there's still, it maybe goes back to a different level. It's still a higher level, but mm-hmm. it's something that we have to be actively engaging, which isn't always easy, because that usually means it's uncomfortable or it's stretching. And I think the Lord is good in that way, that it's not always that he's having us stretched and pulled all the time, because he knows we can't, it's hard to operate that way all the time. So he gives us those seasons to increase our muscle, and then that helps us to then, in the next season when there's trials or there's difficulties, we know how to respond differently.
And I think as you were sharing, Brett, it's cool to see that it was these little things that the Lord was asking him to do at first. It wasn't like the first thing that he said is, go preach at this pastor's conference, right? It was just these little decisions. Because I think that's sometimes when when it comes to something like, okay, I'm going to say yes to the Lord, it's like, well, what's he going to ask me to do, right?
Go to Africa.
We'll talk about that in a future episode. Yeah. But, right, like, I think that's part of one of the fears. Yeah. Like, what's the Lord going to ask me to do?
Absolutely.
Right? But it's like, okay, if he's a good and loving father, he's going to take us on this journey of, I'm showing you in these little things, I'm going to show up, so that when we get to that place, it's, and there are bigger asks, it's that faith and that confidence is there to say, wow, the Lord showed up in all these little things. I have this increased faith that he's going to show up in this bigger thing. Right. So it's, I think it's cool to hear your dad's journey in that a lot of it was just the little things at the beginning and recognizing, wow, the Lord showed up in that. Okay. I can do a little bit more.
I think the last things I won't keep going on, but that was an example of something that Pastor Barry had actually told me. I was wrestling with my anxiety and my fear and trying to reconcile of how does that, or what does that look like in terms of having faith? And he said something along the lines of like, well, like for you personally in the things that you're having to go through and deal with, and maybe the extra layers of having to battle through things, like you saying yes or you stepping into things is like having a greater reliance on the Lord, or a greater reliance that God's going to show up. Where other people that maybe don't have to have those second thoughts or work through, you know, anxiety or certain fears, maybe they wouldn't need to rely on the Lord as much. And so I think in the same way, when it comes to fear and saying yes, there's almost this mindset that Pastor Barry has where when it becomes the bigger things, it's like this expectancy of like, well, okay, if God's wanting me to do this, then it's almost like there's more pressure on God than there is on me. Mm-hmm. And it shifts that like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do this, to like, if he's calling me to do this, like, okay, God, I'm saying yes, but okay, then you're going to have to set it all up because there's no way I can, right? And it becomes like you're in this place where you have this huge reliance on the Lord, that he's going to move or work. And then you are just like not along for the ride, but you're able to step into that and more or less be an instrument or a vessel in this reliance of the Lord that you have. It's not you gotta, you know, open your backpack and say, all right, everybody jump in, I'm carrying you. It's like more like, okay, I'm saying yes, and then you're jumping into God's backpack, mm-hmm. and he's like, mm-hmm. I got you, right? And so for me, I think that the journey that my dad was on is a picture of like, oh my, I know my dad has a way bigger reliance and trust in the Lord mm-hmm. now, based off of him saying yes and him witnessing God showing up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it speaks to like, it didn't change the yes being easier, mm-hmm. but it was more of this, no, I'm going to go to God and rely on him more mm-hmm. so that I can say yes and step into these things. And then it's like, you kind of let the cards fall where they will and trust that, okay, God, you're going to work, so do your thing.
Yeah, and it reminded me in that story when he actually preached to that in that conference. I don't know the time, if I get the timeline perfect. I think it was like the day before where they told him, hey, tomorrow you're going to do this. Maybe it was 2 days before or something, but he basically was like, I don't have anything. Like I got nothing. Like what am I supposed to do? And I think he was like one night, that night before, he was just like, God downloaded him all the stuff. He was just started writing. It was like all these thoughts just started pouring in, like, and then he had this whole sermon. And so like that, but it was because he was obedient and was like, okay, like you got to give me something because mm-hmm. I got nothing. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. But then it was, he couldn't have done that early in the journey, mm-hmm. but because it built up like little by little and. Just so our listeners know that your dad was in a certain season where he had the ability to travel and do different things, so that his doors were expanded.
Yes.
Right? So it's not that that just happens where everybody can just drop everything and go across the world, but because he had so much availability, the Lord was giving him a lot in a short season, mm-hmm. and so. But it was really cool to see how it built throughout that time.
And then I think in that story too, afterwards, some of the pastors came up to him and wanted his notes afterwards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so yeah,
it was that impactful because the Lord showed up that they really wanted to have his notes and
it was God's
use that
message
for later. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they're like, who's this little Asian guy? No, I'm just kidding. I think one thing that it was cool because this conversation, part of it was similar to the one we had in small group, but when we talk about saying yes and recognizing these ideas, I think to help ourselves build the muscle and get in the habit, just to start, like every day, a couple times a day with decisions you have to make, just go to the Lord and say, what do you want me to do? Just start with that. Yeah. Don't even worry about, did I do the right thing or not? Yeah. Just like get in that discipline of just stopping and saying, God, what do you want me to do? Or how do you want me to respond? And then just keep going. But I think like we expect like it to be like the burning bush comes to us. And I still haven't, I've seen some bushes burn, but it wasn't from God. And it's like, yeah, there's some of that, like you're saying, the training, like the first time you go in to lift weights, you're not going to be able to bench 300.
Maybe you aren't, but
just do the bar.
Right.
So it's like, just go in there and move your arms, you know? It's like,
do something
like that. And I think if you start there, like even in that, God's going to show up. Like, because he wants to be in communication. He wants you to come to him. Like, so I would just encourage people like, like I'm not going and preaching in Africa. I think if we all just, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? Like things will change in our everyday life just from that. And so I would just encourage people just start trying to find two or three times a day where you just do that. Even if you feel like he gives you nothing after that, just keep doing it.
I mean, it could be just as simple as when Jeremy shared, like, which direction do you want me to go to get to my destination?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it doesn't have to be something big. It should just be like, I drive to work every day. Maybe I'll take it. God, if you want me to go a different way, I'm open. Just tell me which direction to go. Right?
What do you want me to eat for lunch today? Yeah.
Oh, you had that while you were running the other day, right? Should I go 6 miles or 8 miles? And then you went a different direction, it something happened.
I did. And yeah. And so I was running and I was asking the Lord, I said, I want to go between 6 and 8. If I turn on this one street, then I'll end up going 8. If I go straight, then I'll go 6. And then I was getting close to the turn and I felt like, no, I'm supposed to turn. And then at mile seven, so if I would have only did 6, I wouldn't have heard this. Mm-hmm. But at mile 7, I felt like the Lord started something, gave me something specific for myself that was really good. And so I did feel like, wow, if I would have only gone 6, I would have missed out on that.
Yeah, but you actually checked and asked him, like, hey, what should I do? Instead of just, like, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So for me, that's actually an easy one when I do go running, just to say, like, okay, which direction do you want me to go? Sometimes it's like, If the white man is up there, then I'll go straight. If the red hand is there, then I'm going to turn, or you know, stuff like that. But yeah, just giving the Lord opportunities to direct us. All right. Well, we've gone pretty long today. Yeah. We were actually beforehand thinking this was going to be pretty short because we didn't really have an agenda.
Not short. We just like we don't know where it's going to go.
I'm telling you, if you just let me, I can ramble. So I could just go wherever and. You don't have to worry about the time being filled, I guess.
So hopefully you heard something encouraging today in your journey from fear to faith. And, you know, really that's the season that we're in as a church as we move forward into stepping into being the city on a hill is, you know, the Lord wants our faith to shine and that other people can recognize, like, wow, there's something different about this people that is appealing, that I want. And I think it's cool because the way that Pastor Barry laid it out, what City on a Hill is, the first one is it's where God's presence dwells, right? And that's what they're going to recognize, that there's all these other communities, there's all these other things where people can get together that are can be good, but it really it's going to be a place where God's presence dwells. And that's going to be a part of our faith, right? Is So we're in a season of God strengthening our faith. For you, that might be saying yes in these little things. It might be a little bit different journey for other people. So seek the Lord, see what he says, and everyone's journey is going to be a little bit different. But we're all on this journey to go from fear to faith together. And I think that's something that's cool, as we've talked about being stronger together, is that we get to journey this together. And it's not just you have to move from fear to faith on your own, but we get to do it together. So Catalyst family, we're just excited to journey this with you. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.